I told the story of what I believed when, at Menilan in 1995, and again when I joined the church 10 years later. You've probably all forgotten it, but this today is mostly about when and how I see God acting in my life. The poem Lois just read was written by my mom back in the 70s and means a lot more to me now than it did when she wrote it. Now I find it mind-boggling to think that the God of all creation concerns himself with me and my life and the lives of his children. As the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In my story, I see times when God was definitely my help, acting in my life and my family's lives for our welfare. I recall some periods of our lives and say, it's a miracle we got through that. The truth is, there were miracles in slow motion. Miracles of God caring for us in dark times through his people in the church. There were also a couple of spontaneous miracles. Bing, when it seemed God was addressing my or our needs directly. Sometimes even through newspapers. More about that later. First, a few things about myself and then my religious background. I'll say up front, I've not been a person with a lot of discipline or drive. In my personal life and in my spiritual life, I've had a tendency to take what comes my way, not a go-getter personally or an active seeker spiritually. I don't feel that I've followed God very faithfully. It may shock you or disappoint you or not, but for the most part, I don't read my Bible a whole lot or pray a lot. When I try to talk to God, I don't always feel a loving God is listening. It's a bit surprising then that though I haven't walked closely with God, he has blessed my life in many ways. Or the other way around, since he has blessed me in so many ways, it's surprising I haven't followed him more faithfully. One thing more, I've always had a lot of questions. You'll be hearing some of them. My religious history has included switching back and forth between Mennonite and Lutheran settings. I grew up in Hereford Mennonite Church, a General Conference or New Mennonite Church in Valley, PA, separated by a small cemetery from the Old Mennonite Church across the way. Many of the Old Mennonites were my neighbors, friends, and schoolmates. But when it came to religion, I was more aware of the differences between us in matters of dress and lifestyle than of shared beliefs or a common faith. The Old Mennonites were the ones who wore bonnets and long dresses and weren't allowed to play cards or wear lipstick or go to movies. When I was in eighth grade, my mother had me join the Country Lutheran Church, of which she was nominally a member. For a year, I attended catechetical classes and Sunday services at Hill Church in rural Berks County, joined the church, and then went back to attending Hereford Mennonite, except for sometimes going back to Hill Church for communion. So now for the rest of my story. After college, I spent a disastrous year as a high school English teacher. At the end of that year, I had no idea what I wanted to do next, except that it wasn't to teach. So I took a teacher's vacation and spent the summer at home with my family. At the end of August, my brother, a pre-med student at Bluffton College, had an interview appointment at Temple University Med School in Philly. and my mother and sister and I went with him to spend the day in the city. When we got to Philly, I bought a paper and looked at the want ads, starting at the beginning of the alphabet. In the E's, I came upon an ad that said, editorial assistant, college graduate, English major preferred, applied at the Muhlenberg building. I went downtown, took an hour-long test, and started my new job the day after Labor Day on the staff of the Lutheran magazine. Bing! My mom told me she had been praying I would find a job, and it seemed like a small miracle that the ad was in the paper the day I was in the city. Here I have some questions. I can say glibly, I think it was God's doing, but wow, who or what is this God who has this power to act in our lives and care for numberless people's lives at the same time? Is he or it a spirit, a force, a person? And what about the people who live their entire lives in misery? Does he ever act in their lives? But to get on with my story, my years living in this city, working with the staff on a church magazine, were very enriching and broadening, almost like a graduate course in life. I was becoming more indoctrinated as a Lutheran and well on my way to being a Lutheran for life when I took a class in ballroom dancing at the YMCA. And believe it or not, that's where I met Art Landis. A General Conference Mennonite who had been dragged to the class by a friend. We started dating, dropped out of the class, and were married in Hereford Mennonite Church about a year and a half later. Here I have more questions. Was it God's plan for both of us to meet? For me to come back to my Mennonite roots? What kind of plans does God have for our lives? Are they step-by-step plans or overarching plans? When we don't follow his plan, does he have a new plan? We do believe we have freedom to make our own choices and not be manipulated like chess pieces. Sometimes I felt God could have come up with a better plan for me. Might I have been a better Christian if I had not lived with someone so bitter and cynical about God, the church, and Christianity in general, but who in the long run made his life count standing up for the oppressed? But that is blaming God and Art for my own daily choices. And I did learn more from Art about Mennonite history and beliefs and social injustices than I ever knew growing up. At first, we lived in an apartment in Germantown, and in Sunday drives up country to visit our families, we began attending Zion Mennonite Church in Satterton. Art especially appreciated the social and political views of the pastor, Alvin Beachy, and we joined the church. After Rosanna was born, we moved to Sellersville to get away from the city and be close to Zion. Art had been working as a milkman for Abbott's Dairies and got a job at Rosenberger's Dairies when we moved. A few weeks ago, on the way to church, I told Steve Nice some of the next part of my story, but I couldn't remember ever telling it to anyone else at Perkasie. That morning, Jessica asked if I'd be willing to tell my story to the congregation, and I thought perhaps it was time to talk about this. What I didn't know back then was that Art had had a drug problem before we met, and that he found a doctor a block away from us in Germantown who sold him pep pills whenever he went to the office and asked for them, even after we moved to Sellersville. In the following years, his addiction to amphetamines caused more and more erratic and bizarre behavior. He'd go with little sleep for days, then crash and sleep 24 hours straight. With sleep deprivation, he was nasty to live with, never physically abusive, but just plain ugly. He roamed the streets at night, so I never knew when he was coming home, brought home all kinds of junk, and started projects around the house that didn't get finished. The year Jimmy was born, Art was fired from Rosenberger's, then from two other jobs the same year as a result of drug-caused behavior. He finally got a job at Pillsbury and perhaps wasn't fired there because they had a strong union. During this time, we received a lot of support from Zion, especially from the assistant pastor, Frank Keller, and from Bob Hunsaker, who I believe was also in the pastoral team, and their wives. Zion paid for counseling and group therapy for us at the Penn Foundation, and also some medical bills. One night, Art was picked up for vagrancy or loitering or something in Doylestown and was held in jail. As I remember it, a magistrate ordered him committed to a mental hospital, but I had to go to court to agree to ask for the commitment. It was Frank Keller who arranged between Zion Church and Wayne Clemens that an attorney from Wayne's law office would represent me at the hearing, which was on our wedding anniversary. All I had to do in court was say yes when the judge asked if I agreed to the commitment. Art was taken to Allentown State Hospital to spend the next 3 months there. With Rosanna in first grade, Jimmy about four, and Margie just a little over a year old, it was a rough time for all of us. But when Art was released, he was over his addiction and never went back to the drugs. With the help of God through Zion Mennonite Church, we came through a dire situation which could have had a much more drastic conclusion for our family. Yet, around that time, we stopped attending Zion. I don't remember why, but it might have had something to do with the pastor, Alvin Beachy, leaving his position at the church. For a couple of years, we weren't regular churchgoers. Occasionally, I took the children to St. Michael's in our neighborhood, back to the Lutherans again, but never really felt at home there. Now, I'd like to tell about an incident that happened around this time. Art was working the night shift at Pillsbury, and I woke up in the middle of the night and heard a bat flying around my bedroom, sometimes a few feet over my head. And I think the ladies here know how I felt. I remember so clearly the words that went through my mind. Tell me who to call, God. Tell me who to call. What could I do? Call Art of Pillsbury? Probably wouldn't get through to him. Call the police? Who could I wake up in the middle of the night to come and get rid of a bat in my house? Well, we lived in Row House, and when things were quiet, you could hear people on the other side of the wall. Perhaps in less than 10 minutes, I heard the three-year-old boy next door wake up crying, and I knew the neighbors would be awake. I dialed their number in the dark. I didn't turn on the light because I didn't want to see that bat. And in a little while, Gene came over with a broom in his hands. He came upstairs and checked all three bedrooms. No bat. Oh, great. Now I look batty. Just as he was about to go downstairs to leave, the bat flew into the hall. Jean downed it with a broom, whacked it several times, and took the dead bat out of the house with him. So what do you think? Did God have little Billy wake up crying because I needed to call someone? Would he have woken up if I didn't have a bat in my room? Was it a coincidence he woke up when he did? I don't know the answer. All I know is that when I heard him crying on the other side of the wall and knew who to call, it felt like an answer to prayer. Well, back to my story. One day I read in the News Herald that Johanna Gaiman, one of my old Mennonite childhood friends and neighbors, would be speaking at Perkasie Mennonite Church on a Sunday evening about her experiences in Vietnam. The children and I came to hear her, were attracted by what we found, and started attending services here. Bing! I've always felt God directed us to that meeting and this church. If I had taken the initiative to go church hunting, it wouldn't have occurred to me to check out an old Mennonite church, because I still thought of old Mennonites as different. I'll admit, at first it felt a bit strange to be in an old Mennonite church, but that feeling passed. I am happy that the two churches are now one. Zion Mennonite support through a difficult time came mostly from the pastoral team and through financial aid. At Perkasie, we've experienced God's love through the actions of many members in the congregation. I'm aware of so many people here who give of themselves to help others. While I feel our family has perhaps received more than our fair share of that help. People in this church have ministered to us in so many ways, but I want to mention a few of the most important ones. In the 70s, Art got into prisoner visitation at Graterford State Prison. He raised our consciousness, I believe, of the horrors and injustices of the penal system, and the church was supportive of his mission. Naomi Kaufman, for one, was instrumental in staging a display of prisoner artwork here at the church, and a busload from the church attended a program at the prison. However, three prisoners Art knew were released, and two of them were bad news. They stayed at our house off and on, coming and going, mostly causing problems and crises. The Kaufmans and the Sisslers were part of a support team that helped us deal with the problems and eventually get the problem causers out of the picture. It was another situation we miraculously survived with God's/church people's help, and no visible damage other than a busted dining room chair. But I don't know what kind of scars the experience left on our children's lives. When our son Jim experienced severe depression in high school, the support of Christopher Dock teachers in the congregation helped us all get through that time. Also, Jessica's grandmother, Sarah Hedrick, suggested Jim could serve as church janitor, which gave him a chance to be by himself and also gave himself self-esteem. When Art decided we had to get out of our house in January 2006, we turned to the Sisslers and John and Becky Felton for guidance. It wasn't a dark and desperate situation like some other times we'd gone through, but we still needed and received lots of help. Under John's direction, Harold spruced up the house with his paintbrush, and we got lots of help from church people getting rid of things and cleaning up the house. The house sold quickly. Just before the economic downturn that year, I've mentioned that I've not been a person to take initiative. I thought I'd get a job when Margie started kindergarten. Well, maybe first grade. She was actually in high school when an ad popped up in front of me in the reporter, and I got a proofreading job for a few years. Until then, I was at home, though not being an especially adept homemaker. Art worked many double shifts, and I handled the money and made sure the bills were paid. If I had really wanted the things we did without, I might have tried to find a job myself. Somehow, we got three children through Christopher Dock and Goshen College with the financial help the church offered for students. In 1994, Pillsbury closed suddenly. Art would soon go on Social Security, and as a longtime employee, he received $17,000 in severance pay. Finally, after years of school tuition bills, we had the start of a nest egg, which, with the sale of the house later, has allowed me to live in a retirement community now. Today, I feel very blessed, being in reasonably good health, living at a place where all my needs are met, having three great children who are very good to me, and four loving grandchildren, and being able to get to church and worship with this congregation every Sunday. It's been a special joy these last few weeks to interact with Leah and Ian and Kathy after church. There was no way I could have foreseen that when they first came here. I feel God has been my help in putting this story together. It wasn't all that easy to do, but the process has reminded me of the many ways an awesome God has cared for, led, and loved me in the past, and that he is caring for me still.